It's hard to preach on missions and with a missions emphasis without going to the traditional verses, actually. When I say hard, it's not always done. And what I would like to do is focus our attention on something that motivates us and takes us into the realm of the Lord's work in Zimbabwe. In Romans chapter 5, we read through those scriptures. We read in the first verse and to number 3, being justified by faith, therefore, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. There's a reason for our not being ashamed, one might say, not being disappointed in our God. And that reason is that there has been a personal testimony in our hearts as to what God has done for us. First of all, these things entail the peace that we have with God. The peace that the scriptures teach us was brought through the tribulations of God Himself, God the Son. His tribulation, His trial, brought us peace with the Father. It's through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how it happened. And this love of God, which brings us the certainty of peace that we have, this knowledge of where we stand in Christ, this love of God is founded in the reconciliation of God. We are reconciled to Him. We no longer fear God as our judge. We're not apprehensive of Him. In fact, He has, by the means of His Spirit, poured into us love. And it's not just ordinary love. It's not just the kind of love that causes us to get along well together. It's not the practical outworking of ordinary loving things that we may do to each other, but it is a different kind of love. It's agape love. It's the kind of love that transforms the inner being. It's the kind of love that was demonstrated and was evident in the death of Jesus Christ. That's how we know that kind of love. And we're looking at here for the motivation for us being out there in the bush and us being away from civilized things and being willing to go out and preach the gospel. That's the motivation for me. And it's more like a testimony tonight. That is the motivation. It's that fact that God has basically sealed in my heart the knowledge of His personal and filling and overflowing love. It's an interesting thing. It is the thing that I know, because the Spirit of God Himself makes me know, and I'm sure. It's the love of God. That's what drives men to do things. Other people do things for other reasons. Some people do things to be seen. Others do things to achieve worldly wealth. Others do things to accomplish all kinds of ends, noble though they may seem. But for a person to go and do the work of Christ and publish these glad tidings in all corners of the earth and do that thing, ignoring everything else, there has to be a motivating factor which is not something that pleases your flesh, because mostly it leads to tribulation and trial and difficulty. I don't even want to begin to list the things. There are some things that are so heavy in my heart right now, I can't even mention them to you. And I can just ask you to pray for us. But there are heavy things. But there's this motive. There's this, I don't know how to describe it. There's this welling up inside, as the Lord himself said, living water is there. He has given us living water, and it fills us up and touches every corner of your being, and it transforms your attitude towards love and causes you to want to go in obedience to the call of the Master to preach the gospel to these people in difficult times. This is such an amazing thing, because Paul says that we, in knowing the ground of our faith, if you look at verse number 3, not only so, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works experience, works patience. The trials work together, bringing patience in our lives. The difficulties that we go through are only reinforced by the fact that we are in a land where it's difficult to receive help. It's difficult to reach out and grab physical things to save you from physical catastrophes. But those things that we go through, they are the things which cause us to look back and to know the ground of how we got there in the first place. The ground that Christ himself went through the utmost tribulation for us. And that based upon that fact, knowing how God demonstrated his love for me, I know he will not desert me in the same circumstances or similar ones. That's what happens. We learn patience. We know that God never leaves us nor forsakes us. We understand that what we've been sent to do is what God wants us to be doing. And therefore we go on and are able not only just to go on and struggle, and it's not all struggle and strife, but actually we can rejoice in that fact, as the scriptures teach us. Because we know, we can enjoy the trials that come our way, rejoicing in those tribulations, because we know God is going to carry us through. We know he's working patience in us. We know that this patience works character in us. And the character is a demonstration of the fact that we can do this and that and the next thing and keep on and on. Why? Because God has filled us with his love, and we know what he has done for us. And he has established us and set our feet upon the ground that is higher and greater and eternal. That is motivation. That's what our life should be based on. Why do you live your life? I often ask myself, why am I here? What are we doing here? God puts us here on the earth, and we just seem to wander around and choose to do this and that and the other thing, and you get into places like that. But there's a foundational reason for it. We're not disappointed in God, ultimately, because this love, which is founded in the hope that he has given to us, the knowledge of what he has done and what's coming, this love is just poured into us like a gigantic urn. He's just upturned, and it pours in and fills every part of us so that we know that God has his hand on every situation. And the funny thing about this love, it wells up in us. And it flows out to others. The Lord described it that way. It wells up unto everlasting life. It's an abundance. It's a stream. A living stream that comes from within. Supplied by God himself. The Spirit of God being the everlasting supply of such love. For God is love. And God in us is love in us and filling us. He said, this is a very soppy kind of a message. Yes, I suppose it is in a way, yet it's not, because that love is born in tribulation. That love was born on the cross. That love was born in a crucified life. That love is born in difficulties and trials and afflictions and a seeking of the comfort of God in very many disastrous situations. many that are too. You just look at the life of Paul and you know. And yet here was a man who had this immense love for his people. This great love. And he just wanted to reach them. And he said, I could wish myself a curse for my brethren in the flesh. He had such feeling. You say, well, feelings, we shouldn't base anything on feelings. But you know, love produces feelings. They're legitimate when they're godly, when they're motivating, when they cause you to know afresh and understand more and more about what God wants to do with your life and how He wants you to go out and serve Him in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what He wants for you. It's not just me. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. We're members of this body of Christ here. I'm not the one singled out tonight. I've shown you some slides and I've opened the scriptures somewhat and we're looking briefly at these things. But it's not just me. It's us. This should flow from us individually and collectively. That's why we're in missions. That's why. And the trials and the difficulties that many of you are going through, and I know, and the prayer requests and things, the many things that you might struggle with tonight, those things that are deep inside and they catch you and nearly choke you to death because you're so worried about them. Those things, they're common to all of us. God is showing you His love. That's what He's doing. And He is convincing you of His call on your life to become vessels for the publishing of the gospel of Jesus Christ to every nation in the world. That's what it's about. If you haven't got that motivation, you'll never make it. You won't make it in this life, and you won't make it on the mission field. It's that is the critical factor for me. Nothing else could cause me to go into a land where the Central Intelligence Organization spies on my every move, where they look into all of my records, where they seek out our family, where we know that we're recorded in the book somewhere, where we're under spies, we're under all kinds of difficulties in that land. We're under immense pressures to supply this and that for God's people because they're hungry and they have difficulties and they have sicknesses and the AIDS is rampant and the whole country is falling to pieces around our ears. And just 5 years ago, I could take $1 from America and get 8 Zimbabwe dollars. Today, I take $1 from this country and get 2 million. That's what's happened in 6 short years. Destruction and collapse. Why would anyone go to a place like that? Well, the motive and the power to do that comes from the Spirit of God Himself. That's what counts for you. It's no escaping the fact that if you're a born-again believer tonight, if God has caused you to repent and place your faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, and if the Spirit of God has entered into your heart and transformed you and changed you into a new creature in Christ, He has poured His love into you. If that is the case, then this is in you. Listen to what the Spirit of God is saying to the churches. Hear what He says. Give with the same love that was given for you upon Calvary. For the Spirit of God makes Christ known to us, the Bible says. We know Christ more because of the Spirit of God. He it is that makes Him known to us, the Scriptures tell us. That's His job in our lives. And as we know more of Christ, we know more of His love. We know more of His sacrifice. We know more of what He wants for us. Christ in me, the hope of glory. That's the issue. The very presence of the Savior Himself in you. Ah, that is power indeed. So tonight as we think about these things, we can glory in our tribulations we can know that this patience is being prepared and developed in us as we recognize the hand of God in bringing tribulation into our lives. And that we're not going to be ashamed, disappointed. The old-fashioned word is ashamed, but disappointed. This hope is never going to disappoint us. We're never going to be let down by God because of what He has done, because of the evidence of everything that has happened in our lives. God has given His Son to die for us. He'll never let us down. We'll never be ashamed. If we go with the gospel of Jesus Christ, if we walk under the promptings of the Spirit of God, if the love of God fills us and assures us, and we're willing to step out in faith and do the things that we know God is wanting us to do. Oftentimes people will say to me, you know, Pastor, I think I'm not sure what God wants me to do. But I'm not sure. I think He wants me to do something, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure about that person either. Personally, I know when I have said that, I have meant I don't want to do anything just yet. I don't want to respond to the Spirit of God. I don't want to stand up and move in the direction that He wants me to go. And that's what we're required. Because when we were without strength, Christ died for us, the ungodly. And the example of this great love in verse 8 that God has for us is this love that is commended towards us, that is ever presently commended towards us. It's with us always. This commendable love, you might say, is demonstrated because we were sinners and Christ died for us. We know that. And yet we will not respond to a holy, righteous God. We will not listen to the voice of the one who cleansed us from all of our sin and reconciled us to Himself. I would advise this evening, as you have watched things going on in Zimbabwe, as you have heard what it means to walk in the sphere of God's love, as you've heard what it means to know what the call of God is on your life, consider what God wants you to do. I've been giving excuses all my life. I confess it before you now. I've given excuses to God. I said I'm feeling too sick. I said I'm feeling too tired. I said I can't really right now because I need to rest and reflect a while. And I have not responded in every instance of what God wants me to do. I am a sinner saved by grace, but I am still a sinner, even though my sin has been washed away and I stand righteous before God. But the practical reality is that God has already done something about that. He has done something in this old heart here which has filled it with a motive that is not changeable. It's not changeable. Emptiness has been thrust out because I am full. It's no longer a question. It's now just a condition that I have. And the condition is the condition of the fullness and the spreading and the shedding abroad of God's love in my heart, so much so that I must go and share that and demonstrate that and help to carry this gospel forward and do it in joy. It's in joy. This great love that He has given to us, it's commended towards us. It's an incredible love. It's a love that has covered all of our weaknesses. It's a love which has motivated people down through the centuries. And the fact of the matter is that the love is so great that it causes us to march. If you look in verse number 9, it talks about the word 9. I was going to have a long sermon about it. This went on too long tonight. Much more than, he says, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Not in the future, but this is a present tense that's given to us here. Now, now, he causes us to march in triumph with Christ himself. Now, that's what's being thrust at here in those scriptures. It's not something that happens in the future. It's a present condition for you and me now. Now we march in the triumph of that grace. In the fullness of that love. Knowing it and demonstrating it and having it and spreading it and preaching it and speaking it to all that we may find. Reaching out to the highways and the byways, one might say. That's it. We are now carried by Christ himself in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to be carried right on into heaven. Right on into heaven. We're saved by his life. We used to sing the song, "Oh, victory, victory with Jesus." But it's not that. Our victory is in Jesus. We're in Jesus. There's never any departure. It's not that we're walking with him, but we are in him. We are in Christ. The Spirit of God fills us and assures us that that is so. Will you go? Will you open your heart? Will you let God's way happen in you as the call goes to you? As the Word of God touches you, as the Spirit of God says, the Father loves you and fills you with his love and wants you to take that to a lost and dying and disgraceful world.